AG1.
What's up? I'm here to talk to you about AG1 Athletic Greens again. You know, it's important to me that the supplements I take are high quality, and that's why I've been taking AG1 for, what is it now, 4 years, 3.5 years or something like that? The thing I like about it is it's researched and developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of experience in their fields. So you know it ain't BS, it's AG. They are the real deal. I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 isn't a buzzword. They really push hard. Expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, rigorous testing. They got it all. At each step of the process, AG1 is going above and beyond. Now, what I like about them, first of all, you can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's an NSF certified for sport, which is like a rigorous, independent quality. They've tested for over 950 contaminants, banned substances. The industry standard apparently is only testing for 10. Dude, it's 95 times as rigorous. And it's not complicated. It's so simple. It's just replacing health supplements like multivitamins, digestive aids, immune support, in just one simple scoop. It takes 60 seconds. You don't have to swallow a bunch of pills on an empty stomach. Boom. And as I always say, you get a little bit of water in there too. Get that day started. So with the water, and then for me, the prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support is probably the most important ingredient. I eat a pretty varied diet, so I get my nutrition from a lot of places, but I got to eat more fermented foods. But AG1 lets me have this prebiotics and probiotics first thing in the morning. Take care of my digestive enzymes, which if you're a listener of the podcast, you know I need help with. All right. Look, I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make a high-quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. I chug down an AG1 maybe within 10 minutes of getting out of bed. It's the way I start my day every day, even on the road. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/mighty. That's DRINKAG, the number one, .com/MIGHTY. drinkag1.com/mighty.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. Fuck boy. Brat. 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 Fuck boy. Fuck boy. Holy shit. Joining me as always in the High and Mighty studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout out, brother. All right. Good to hear from you, dog. And Artie is chilling next to one of his favorites who currently smells like one of his favorite things. Guys, joining me in the High and Mighty studio for Conspiracy Theories Part 5?
I think this is 6, dude.
Is this? Oh, shit, dude.
Because the live one was 5.
Oh, fuck.
Live at 5,
live
baby.
At 5, baby. Back to back like Trebek and Sajak. Anthony Italian, motherfuckers.
Pew, pew, pew.
Let me clear my throat.
Number 2, fuck boy.
Oh, guys, I'm pumped to have Anthony back, fresh off wrapping up season one of The President Show.
Yeah.
Excellent work. Everyone who listens to my podcast knows about The President Show because I talk about it, and you're on so much. No, I never talk about it except when you're on.
I was going to say, I've been on so much being like, The President Show. This is another great thing about The President Show.
Hey, one of the best things about working on The President Show is all the fucking money.
Oh, yeah.
Honey, are you a Jedi or something? I ain't got the money. I don't even know what I'm doing. I think that's anti-Semitic. Whatever. Yeah.
Honey, I sell you for something.
Yeah, I got something good for you.
Mom, can I go to the podcast races?
Podcast races?
Oh, no.
Oh, we got to save the sketch. All right. Okay. We just sent out a cop.
All right, we're back. We stopped and we wrote the sketch podcast races.
All right, here we
You'll
go.
See it's going out to perform it. We can't perform it yet. People are going to just this see it true. Soon in the theaters.
This is like Last Jedi. Yes, we got away.
You got away.
We got to plug Last Jedi.
Yeah, why would we got it? Because they don't know this yet, coming but we're in it.
December 15th.
Yeah, we're allowed to tell you guys now. Me and Anthony are in The Last Jedi.
Totally in
as
it.
Ourselves.
Yes.
We walk up and go, what is this chick doing with a lightsaber?
Yeah. Like, this is the way the world works.
She should have a lightsaber that's 78% as long as a male's lightsaber.
Free Dustin Hoffman.
The land of the hot takes. We are pro Dustin Hoffman in this house. Fuck
no. Free Dustin. Free Dustin.
That's the hill I'm going to die on. You know what? Dustin Hoffman's gone too far. I don't care. Fry all these motherfuckers.
Oh my God. It's so wonderful.
Just everyone stop being sketchballs. Yeah, it's a fucking reckoning.
Wouldn't
dude.
It be so easy?
I mean, it's got to stop now. People are getting fucking found out.
Well, I don't
it's
know.
It's only a matter of time till this podcast has to come to an end.
Oh, fuck.
No, Jesus. That's not funny. That's not funny. I'm sorry, guys. I don't edit my podcast, but just pretend shit. That was edited out. And Anthony did not say that at all. Okay,
I didn't say anything.
I said,
said
it.
The
it
was, way worse thing.
It was all me. I'm just saying it was all me. I'll take all the heat for anything that comes up on this episode because I invite you to my house, give you fucking $150 worth of weed, and we just start fucking getting roasted. Drinking a fucking magnum of red wine, smoking a little bit of the old grass.
You know, I needed it. I gotta tell you, this has been a real treasure of a week.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
You know,
You're in a city that's currently on fire. It's fucking terrifying.
That's right. If the flames are licking at us.
Every day we joke and we fucking, I know it's like hack and it's just fucking all over. Every day we joke that we're like one step closer to the apocalypse. And then like the next day, the world is on fire around you.
We are.
Whoa.
Well, that gets into the question of like, is part of reality our collective unconscious's will to drive ourselves towards apocalypse? Is this some sort of...
Are we bringing this upon ourselves?
Yeah, and you have to question that.
Is it time?
Well, is it time? Is it time for us to die? No, but think about it this way. Prior to mass media, okay, everyone had their own individual narrative, and not that apocalypse is new, but it was probably some part of the psyche translates our own death into the external notion of apocalypse, right?
Right, because it's in every religion.
Right.
And even if you're atheist, you would say, like, when I die, that's the end of my world.
Right, it's a wreck. It's a recognition.
And the scariest thing about the apocalypse is when someone thinks about the apocalypse, if you're being honest, you don't think, oh my God, in the apocalypse, Anthony would die, my wife would die, my family, I go, oh, I would die.
Of course.
Right, I don't get, like...
Because it's connected to your self.
So why wouldn't it go the other direction in which your death could equal the apocalypse?
I mean, I feel like I can turn my brain on to any number of harrowing scenarios.
I can see all the patterns in my mind. I've got it all. I see all the possible extrapolations.
Have you ever done that where you drive your mind, where you like drive it, you overclock it with like scenarios, and then you're like,
fuck, I need to lie down. I need to smoke a joint. I need to lie down. I need to turn on video games for 5 hours because I need to wash my fucking brain.
Yeah, but wait, but apocalypse is to say that we, since the collective identity of even the radio and then the television, it was live transmission, we have started to narrow the avatar of the human experience into an individual psyche that's reflected back from the television in a way. So we are starting to all synchronize in our narratives, right? And since there seems to be a sort of baby boomer level of control in some level on media, we are living out the narrative of the midlife to late life crisis. So it's natural that therefore the eye that is looking at the world.
Are you saying Donald Trump is like society's ill chosen convertible?
Yes.
Like Donald Trump is what we're doing as a collective midlife crisis.
He's the Porsche and the
he's
like
the fucking the 80s, yellow Porsche.
Yeah, the 80s Porsche and the like secretary, right? Wasn't that the whole 80s like midlife crisis thing?
Yeah, you just buzzing down the fucking PCH with the fucking big titted
blood. I love Ellie.
Bad to the, I don't know why it's
Third
like,
Street Promenade.
Even though that just isn't. Drives right up. Whoa!
They both explode in a ball of flames.
Third Street Promenade. Arr, get out of the way! It's a fucking yellow Porsche.
Hitting buskers and like slamming into
clowns
novelty.
Never laugh.
Oh, fuck. So that's Apocalypse.
That's Apocalypse. Thank you for your suggestion. Next scene. For our next scene, all we need is...
Wow, this new UCB is looking great.
Apocalypse. That's how you know the apocalypse has come. shit. As always, we should probably give a blanket. Like, we should give our disclaimer at this point.
Oh, yeah.
That we are neither experts.
That's
and the
sure.
opinions we both convey are not the opinions of our employers and of us alone. And possibly an opinion hoisted upon ourselves for the sake of argument on a podcast.
Yeah.
So it might not even be my actual opinion.
Yeah,
I might
making up points of view just in order to have a different discussion.
As a thought experiment. But now, in my mind, it's like bullshit because we gave ourselves a disclaimer. We could be really like a monster in that point of view. We shouldn't do that.
No, you.
I should
I mean,
be like,
we
no,
can
I'm
do it
portraying
as a joke.
The most anti-Semitic guy ever. It's yeah. like, no.
No, and I'm like, no, sorry, that's me.
You're auto anti-Semitic.
I am. I'm auto anti-Semitic. It's a fetish. But
you suck yeah. your uncircumcised
yeah.
dick.
I'm like, well, just the. No, Jews are...
No, Jews are always circumcised, yeah.
But the...
But you're like a Russian Jew, so you have that weird penis.
Jesus Christ.
And here we are, boys.
You're that Russian. You're a Russian Jew. You got that weird penis.
You are. So, are you a Russian Jew?
I'm Ukrainian.
Ukrainian. Eastern Bloc.
Polish Jew with
terrifying.
Some Lithuanian in there.
The best kind.
I'm the ones who, like, it's a miracle that I exist because my family should have... Or probably was partly
yeah.
destroyed.
Oh, they'll finish the job.
The
the collective unconscious will finish us all.
Yeah, the collective unconscious is driving towards the first. So I want to just say, too, yes, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. All this is conjecture. Right. Half the time I mispronounce the things I'm even talking about, like Blavatsky, Blavatsky.
Yeah, I know.
I
and
love
we know,
getting tweets
to,
about it.
Welcome to our mentions.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just want to say, hey, freaks, welcome to the mentions.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, freaks from Reddit.
But we talk conspiracies, and this is my most thrilling thing and only comfortable podcast that I do.
Right, because you don't have to worry about shit except getting high and yeah. ranting about fucking conspiracies.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Which is something that you and I have been doing for over a decade.
Yeah, well over a decade.
Well over a decade outside of fucking podcasts.
Yeah, just talking about it.
Yeah. So let's fucking dive in. What's... Did you get any further research on if my girl Melania is KGB? I think she is. I think she's a fucking Russian agent, dude. I think she's like another fucking, what's it called? Kompromat or whatever.
It's a kompromat.
Yeah. We definitely both said it wrong. Yeah, yeah. It's a kompromat.
Laundromat. She's a laundromat. I have not gotten any more info on whether Melania is, it is true. She is so faded in the background. And she is, and there was fake Melania. Let's talk about fake Melania. Do you think? Is fake Melania fake?
I don't know. And if fake Melania was, if we're saying if fake Melania was real, we're not saying if fake Melania was actually real Melania. We're saying if fake Melania
was fake
was
Melania.
True.
It's true.
Was
so
true.
This
is fake Melania true? If
to
P,
introduce it, though.
Then Q.
Then Avenue.
Avenue
Queer.
And scene.
Oh God, that's called a pattern game, guys.
So we just invocated.
We see a cue.
Is it possible? Right, like they would plant the seed.
Yeah.
Eventually, like you know, they were like, "Let's get latched on to some billionaires that we can like, you know, milk in fucking business deals." Then they get Trump over the barrel in some capacity, and they're like, "Let's make this guy fucking run."
Well,
we think
also,
we can interfere and fucking do some craziness, and we think he's psycho enough to fucking shatter the government.
But it's more incidental than that, which is I think that like my guess is that he had some level of debt after the Atlantic City failure, where I think he got with her. Who knows what's in a relationship, but like I think he got with her in terms of. She was, you know, a high society woman who was, you know, doing a lot of modeling and so on. Or she was running in those circles and going to those parties.
And that's a barrel for Donnie to be shooting in.
Right. And like that. Like, and
model seeking wealth.
Yeah. Well, and all, it's not even model seeking wealth. It is also people of means who are, you know, have, like, she was a model before she made money, but she's in a world where she's not probably averse to meeting a really, you know, a billionaire person, the person that they also believe they deserve to be with. Both those people believe they deserve to be with each other.
Right.
It is a world of confidence, false confidence, real confidence. And having worked as like a waiter in that world and being adjacent to that world when I was in college, like in Boston, it's a very self-involved world. So I don't doubt that she got with him less for like she was a mole than she got with him. But I think then he gets himself compromised with Russian money laundering in order to prop up his properties because he was losing money in the bankruptcy. Right. And then I think whatever she's got going on, there's compromise there for her. Then there's laundry cart for him. Yeah. And then there's, you know, can of
motocross.
Yeah. There's Tybo for somebody else. But the point being is like each thing was more incidental. He probably was pushed to run, but then when he ran, it was then like, we could give this guy information. If this guy became president, he'd be a fool. Maybe their objective is probably more in the lines of espionage, I might guess. Is calculations of possibilities versus some sort of
intentional
outcome. Yeah. So it's sort of like, well, the likelihood is he'll either cripple the economy or he'll ruin his international relationships or he'll be compromised by his own corruption. And the fact that we compromised him is enough to destabilize the United States that the story being true doesn't matter. Right. That's what nobody's even, I think, really considered. The Russians might be like, that's fine. Yeah, we rigged the election. We hacked the election.
And it could be
what wrong. Are you going to do about it?
It could be false.
It could be false.
And it would fucking really instigate a lot of fucking inside shit here in America.
In other words, it's a psychological operation. It has nothing to do with the
action.
We're
victim of psyops.
We
fuck,
are a victim
dude, lifelong
of fucking
dream.
Psyops, dude.
Dude, it's fucking happening. I am like kind of pumped to be receiving psyops.
I'm always, listen, give me an ammo crate. Give me an ammo crate and call in a missile strike and I'm good. Yeah. Call of Duty, baby.
Hey, baby. Call of Duty, Weed Break, Diablo 2. I mean, StarCraft 2. Weed Break. Yo,
Weed Break, StarCraft 2. I've never been more angry. We discuss this every time we do the podcast.
I know,
because
it's like, we fucking...
This is our wound.
Yeah.
I got mad at you.
I'm on Heroes of the Storm full time now, dude.
What's that?
That's like the free Blizzard game that's kind of like League of Legends. I'm truly addicted. It's really fun. It's free.
I don't.
So it's really easy to get hooked. It's like fucking crack.
South Park,
that game,
Fractured But Whole.
Oh. Appel was telling me about it.
So good.
Dude, the idea, someone told me that, Eric Appel, that the difficulty meter, as you slide it up, your character's skin gets darker. That's so fucking funny.
Yeah.
And people treat you worse if you're a minority.
And real. It's funny and real. It's,
I know,
such
it's
a
so
great
fucked
lesson.
Up. Yeah.
I also think it's so great that they've found a way where, like, if you're 11 or 12 and you're playing that game, then, like, you're getting a real complex lesson in terms of sort of awareness of who you are and maybe your privilege. Because there's a lot of white, young, suburban kids who buy South Park shit, I presume. So, like...
But also South Park is...
It's a good lesson to put in there.
Yeah, but in the same breath, the show can arguably be nihilistic, which is not the also best point of view
that
to get
true.
To
I
get
think
into
it's
13.
The greatest,
I mean, it's
satire
fucking
that's
great.
Out there.
It's great as long as you don't watch that and go, "Oh shit, nothing in this world is worth liking because everything is fucking so assailable." And like they've skewed so much pop culture that you're like, "Is nothing good?" South Park is teaching me
they
that
did
nothing
that whole
is good.
Cliffhanger thing, remember right. where everything you saw was shit?
But that's like. That's a terrible point of view for a generation of people to have. You know what I mean? Like the South
I don't know,
Park.
Maybe it's detachment. Maybe it's not even that it's shit, but it's detaching from it and
right,
going.
That's the nihilism.
The whole world
that's the nihilism
is,
of it. Is
no, to like, me, detachment is a nihilism. Nihilism would say that detachment has, I think, has no value, and therefore there is no value in anything. It's all worthless.
Right.
Detachment, separate from the notion of a sort of sense of meaninglessness, is simply saying I'm not going to connect with the meaning. I'm going to observe and feel the meaning, but I'm not going to be reactive to it. Detachment is just simply removing reaction and right. sort of looking at things,
sort of like going what through can I them even do about
and experiencing
this? Well,
them, but yeah. experiencing them.
Right.
So there's a difference. So I think like if they if that comes from it, that's great because then you have a
you can survive
generation of healthy people.
You can psychologically survive the world
I
around.
I doubt
you.
It though.
I doubt it. We're all fucking going.
So fake Melania. So just to say, there was a picture of Melania where it really looks like some woman wearing a wig and like she has a different nose shape.
Right.
And the question was, she stood behind Trump and didn't really say much, which is not
a
different
surprise.
Than
it's
for
a character
Melania.
That's been established.
But people
yeah.
saw her as physically different. My belief is that Melania was wearing these tan. She wore glasses that she had some sort of tan like ridge on those pair of designer glasses that
it just
made
her
it
nose
look
shape
like her different. Nose shape changed. She does have a sort of flat lip.
Right.
And she
you're saying it was Melania.
I think it was Melania.
Yeah, it wasn't such a weird difference. And it didn't make much sense. Like it would have to be a more specific situation for me to be like, oh, that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like
yes.
It just didn't feel like the time to bring out fake Melania was needed there because Melania herself wasn't needed in that situation.
Like, why you know? Would you go
fake
through the
Melania
effort?
Would come out when Melania is thinking about getting a divorce.
Yeah.
You know, which I'm sure she is and has been.
Here it is. Here's fake Melania. It's clearly her.
Oh, don't worry.
It's clearly her.
Yeah, it looks like her. It looks like her. It looks like.
See that microphone?
Oh yeah, you hear that, folks?
So yes.
So what's the newest conspiracy that you're latching onto? The one that, and I'm so loosely engaged on, but I like just did a minor bit of watching and reading is all the prehistory stuff that like
yes.
aliens came down and affected like our primitive civilizations.
Wait, this is new that you're reading?
No, it's been out for a while, but yeah. It's new to me. It's new to me right. lately. It's something I've just recently gotten into. I was curious
well,
for
the
you.
Prehistory is you guys talking about prehistory?
Is that what I'm? Am I saying the right phrase here?
Yeah, prehistory,
like chariot of the gods or whatever.
Yeah, well, there's a sort of a couple strains, right? There's the alien seeders, like they were aliens who came and they basically influenced the indigenous peoples of Earth and gave them some sort of DNA shift, and that sort of made us sort of evolve so rapidly. That's like one theory.
Yeah, and then there's
lizard people who
right.
live among us who are actually the controllers of a world that is really filled with the same sort of like primal behavior, but these lizard people are more
advanced.
Your
boy David
they're
Icke,
from another dimension. Yes,
yeah.
They're from another dimension.
Right.
Called a Menti or something. It's some other dimension and they live there and here. Then there is the giants theory, the like giant pale people theory.
Right.
That is the idea of like 8-9 foot giant people who were either scientists from a crashed planetary vessel or the hollow earth theory that
where they live down there.
They live down there. And actually what we think are aliens are all things coming from inside the earth.
Oh,
that's
shit.
A fucking great one.
Unidentified digging objects.
Yeah. Can you dig?
Can you dig?
Can
mind
we do
if we
that?
Dance with your date? Yeah, maybe we should back off that. If we had an editor, we'd edit out that moment where we both did a sort of stereotypical voice. Then like we just went off the topic, but then there's also like with the prehistory thing, it's why are there pyramids in South America? And you know what I mean? Like
yeah, so
why
the same measurements?
Yeah. Why is all these weird? And it's like, is it the sun? Is it where they, you know what I mean? Like, cause there's like arguments in both directions of why it could be like not.
Well,
here's
the other question.
Too.
So then you get to prehistory where, what if we look at it this way? What if the theory isn't that aliens came down or anything like that? What if the theory is, and we've talked about this before, I think, that like human DNA or sort of brains and so on have stayed essentially the same for about 200,000 years. In other words, how you are now is the same as somebody was like 200, 190,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Same makeup, same brain, same capacity to basically learn information. So prehistory theories go, how is it possible that for 190,000 years we were a certain way, but we only did shit in like the last 12,000?
Right.
It doesn't make sense. So the question being, were there during the Ice Age, 13, 15, 17, 20, 30, 25,000 years ago, and maybe a previous Ice Age, were there land bridge societies that existed on the ice caps or people who could traverse different parts of the world. So therefore, the idea of pyramids or those things are actually leftover vestiges of ancient human civilizations.
That we don't even know about.
And that's why there's similarities, but not perfect accuracies. Because it's true.
Right. Someone was just duplicating an idea. Someone was in Egypt. They built the pyramid. They walked all the way across the ice when it was closer to Pangaea, went over there and was like, oh, hey, shit, look, I got this idea from pyramids. Like, my people do pyramids over there. Let's do a pyramid here. Oh, yeah, but, like, yeah, I guess maybe do steps like Chichen Itza, you know, like.
Yes, then, like, those miners. Your timeline is all over the map. You're talking about, man, Pangaea, walking over from the pyramids to then tell other people that we're building it.
You got to follow me. Dude, you got to keep up. I have no idea.
So, like, the guy builds a pyramid, and it's like Pangaea.
He's got a pyramid. He's in Pangaea. He fucking runs across. He's in South America. And he goes, hey, look, this is my pyramid idea. And they're like, hey, let's call it Chichen Itza.
Chichen Itza. You know what? You guys put steps on it.
Why don't you put some steps on it?
You know, that was a mistake we made with our
pyramid. Because we couldn't get up to the top because it was so smooth.
You're slipping down all day.
Yeah, we kept dropping all our stuff in there.
It's called the Luxor. It's a luxury casino.
Check it out.
And
that's a commercial for Luxor. Thank you, Luxor, for sponsoring the podcast. If you ever go to Luxor, just say to the person behind the counter, promo code Mighty.
That'd be so amazing if people did that. They're like, excuse me?
Get a video of yourself going up to the Luxor front desk saying, I'd like a room, promo code Mighty.
Yeah, please.
And see if I can get them to start advertising with me. I'm the king of the Luxor, which is like being a king of a fucking... outhouse. And remember, promo code Mighty.
No, but I love it. It's true. The Luxor is the outhouse of Vegas because it's at the very end of the strip, and it's so instantly dated in its design.
It's more dated than any of the other casinos. All the other casinos seem classy. The Luxor seems like disco. You know, like it showed up and was like, got it. And they're like, that was cool for 6 months. And they're like, no.
You can imagine, not to bring it back to this, but it's true. It's the thing you think Trump would do.
It's 100%. Luxor is pyramids, gold.
It's a gold pyramid.
The building looks different than every building. I can't believe I'm doing a Trump impression too. Fucking.
We've
been doing it for fucking. Yeah, I know. We've been doing it forever. You have just always been fucking great at it. And then you can lock into that shit. Sick fuck.
Yeah, let's get in the mind.
And I want to say thanks again, of course, because Tiffany asked you to grab her by the pussy
Don't do that.
Thank you.
What are you doing?
I reveal that you grabbed my wife.
Yeah, that's the big reveal of this podcast.
So what conspiracy lately or what like new thing have you recently heard about that's got you excited or got you or even is laughable or like is dumb? Like, because there's like the flat earthers are.
What about the asteroid? What about that oblong spinning outer extrasolar object that's passing through our solar system right now? Uh-oh. That's called like Methuselah or something. It has like a fucking crazy name and people they're not able to identify what it is yet. And it's not like that has passed through our solar system.
Oh boy.
And it's like, and I'm telling you, this alien thing I said at the other podcast, I really believe we're hitting a convergence point where something's coming. We are in the next 8 years. I have a feeling we're going to be looking up and going, uh-oh. And there's going to be a deep, desperate fear in your heart as you look up and go, oh, fuck.
What?
I don't know what this is. What are those? We're dead.
Oh, shit. That'd be awesome.
Or they're our best friends, and we join a federation of planets.
Yes, and we go where no man has gone before. I can't believe we just did the Bill and Ted's quote just like that.
No.
Wait, that's not Bill and Ted's?
God. But wait, a real... So that's one. I think I do wonder, like, what is this object going through? They predict there's this whole you know, story or idea of like something that passes through our solar system every 64,000 years that's supposed to create havoc on the planet.
Jesus.
So like, is that,
is this beginning already? Or do, are we hitting, are we getting the front end
Dude,
of the
we're
havoc?
In the timeline.
Right.
According to books that are mostly written between 1890 and 1860 and 1960, which are really rooted mostly in anti-Semitism and racism.
Right,
and most conspiracy theories have more to do with how can we, like, explaining, the alien pyramid thing.
Right.
I've said it's this, like, before. It's, it can't just be saying my... those people, brown people, couldn't have made that pyramid.
Right.
It's very racist.
Exactly. Yeah. Fuck, dude. Yeah. And everything in Europe is like, we
it's
did
rooted
Stonehenge.
In European white supremacy.
Yeah, yeah.
Most conspiracy theories are driven from a sense of white supremacy, also in reaction to the migration patterns that were happening from industrialization, that were bringing more people of color into work environments and atmospheres where people were intermingling. And so I think you can track conspiracy theories with the rise of white supremacy thinking, and also so many of them have to do with the Jews and the
right.
Jews and what they were plotting and what they were keeping from people. And,
right.
you know, 9/11 and the fucking, you know,
they managed to be like slapped on to everything for a long time. And I think Muslims let them off the hook, like sort of globe, at least,
Muslims believe in Jewish conspiracy. Muslims are so interesting because they are sort of like, I'm not saying, by the way, I should really pull back for a second and say what I mean right there is that the people in Muslim, Christian, any community, I don't mean the Muslims.
Right.
One, my wife was Muslim and I am, that's my family. So like, I'm not saying it in the sense of like Muslims believe this crazy thing.
Right.
I'm saying
everybody,
Muslims and Christians, what's interesting is both Muslim and Christian extremists both believe in Jewish conspiracy theories,
right?
But there are also Jews who believe in Jewish conspiracy theories, right?
That's so pretty on game for like the Jewish stereotype.
And then
also hate ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. And I always wondered this, and maybe I'm totally off. This is a total speculation. But like, Jews are, you know, truly one of the very, like, there are very few left. They are sort of like a species that's extinct in the sort of division of human, manifestations in the sort of modern Western world. There's only like 13 million, 11 million, you know, people who are counted as citizens of Israel. There's only a certain number of people who are considered Jews. So my question being, is there something that is connected to the knowledge of that conspiracy theorists sort of therefore go, these people are so mysterious because there's so few of them?
Right.
I always wonder that.
Is that literally like, there's not that many of them. We can bully them more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We can make that, it can make it harder for them.
Yeah. So that's like, the driving force behind.
So
most
Jews are walking
theories.
Across the frozen earth and dropping pyramids off all around the globe. That's
story.
What we're getting at. If I could tie it all together, if I could wrap it up with a bow right here.
No, but like, I'm saying, like, it's interesting that that's the case, that so much of it's driven from anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
And as a Jew, I find it disturbing.
Right.
But I'm also into conspiracy theories. So then I'm also like, You also want to take pieces of them and be like, how is it possible this way? Like, did these right wingers just attach this sort of crazy idea to this conspiracy so that therefore I won't believe it because I find it to be prejudicial?
Right.
Conspiracy minds always can go another layer deeper.
Because you can always just go like, the conspiracy is not the conspiracy.
Exactly.
It's the conspiracy.
It's the conspiracy.
If we could say the most stereotypical stoner sentence, I'm okay. I'll fire off another J-Bop in a
this
minute.
This is good.
I know. We got fucking stacked up, dude. Shout out to the PAX era.
Yeah, PAX era. It's PAX era.
Welcome to the PAX era. Promo code Mighty. If you bring your PAX era to the front desk at Luxor, take a big rip and go, promo code Mighty, and then blow a fucking smoke ring around the front desk's head. Send in a video. I'm going to end up getting like arrested.
That's a
over
disclaimer
this.
To say, do not
actually
do any illegal activity.
Do not do any illegal activity, but...
but take a video. Of
take
yourself,
a. Oh, dude. Fuck yeah, dude. Fuck yeah.
I have another conspiracy theory, which would be that Trump moving the capital, the embassy to Jerusalem is about end time, like making end time shit happen, like creating violence in the state of Israel.
Jesus.
I really
like really instigating something.
Well, I think someone, do you think Donald Trump
is like, hey,
was sitting there, he's like, boy, I can't wait to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Like, he could give a flying fuck about that.
Yeah.
There's someone in his
What is
ear.
The controversy there? What is, like, the problem with that?
Oh, well, because Jerusalem split from, I'm also, again, I will disclaim again, I do not fully know what the fuck I'm
yeah,
talking
we are,
about.
We are wildly underinformed and wildly oversharing.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, we don't know what we're talking about, but right. It's East Jerusalem, and then which is Palestinian, I think, and then West is the disputed sort of area. And so the notion was that part of a two-state solution would be a shared sort of occupation of Jerusalem.
Right.
And I think that by moving the embassy to Jerusalem,
you're just dropping it.
It's sort of saying that the Israel that all of Jerusalem belongs to Israel, and that is a major thumb in the eye of the Palestinian peace process.
Right.
And so do I think that Trump might have been the one when everyone presented all the options? He was like, let's put a thumb in their eye. Put a thumb in their eye. Do
and
that.
Yeah, and Donald, if we do this part, you know, this is Bannon or whoever, Donald, and if we do this thing, we can really say, like, fuck you to so-and-so. Oh, love yeah, saying
exactly.
Fuck you. All right, perfect. Sold.
So there's no understanding of this is such a gargantuan change that's going to really
but
get a lot of people up in arms.
A lot of stuff doesn't happen, but they say is going to happen, right? Why? Like, they get themselves in such hot water with things they say and then never get around to. That's what's terrifying.
Yeah, yeah. They do.
Because they're
lot
like
of
willing
bullshit.
To take the heat for it. It's like, so you're willing to make that happen. We're just fortunate enough that like the stronger heads have prevailed often enough and like
oh, yeah.
knocked terrible things down. But they're actually keep trying.
Oh yeah.
And things that don't work, but it's just like
that's why the Rex Tillerson thing happened. I think the reason there was this whole like threat to Rex Tillerson's job was that I think he must have been telling the president, do not do this. Do not move the embassy. And Trump put out a thing being like, Tillerson's going to get fired, basically to be like, you better fucking get your shit in line,
right,
brother.
Do what I say. Because
this is do what I say, not as I do. And I think that I do think that Pence or someone's in his ear, in his ear, and in his, and they are part of some cobble, some fucking Christian end times cobble of people who are like, we need to make Jesus come back. They really believe
right. They're like,
this shit's gonna fucking happen. And it's crazy.
Oh, it's fucking terrifying.
Cultists. We are, this
is
a
big,
become a cult.
It's the biggest cult.
It took 2,000 years, but it just reduced itself from a message of well-meaning philosophical introspection, sharing of two souls, and an enlightenment that like drove and changed humanity as part of a series of enlightenments that happened across religions around the same time.
Right.
And we've
whatever
taken
the
that,
interpretation.
Yeah.
Of it
and
is.
We've turned it into a treasonous, paranoid, violent cult. That's what has happened.
Right.
And we are not stopping.
And this is
it.
A faction of a larger group.
This
too.
Is what's in charge now.
Right. Right.
The cult is in charge.
Yeah.
And I am, there was like a piece about it, I guess, in the Atlantic or something today or somewhere.
All about Pence being like
about
the cult.
And I was like, we did that. One, we did that on the show 6 months ago.
Right.
But like the notion that the press gets a pass for sitting on an obvious idea that could have been examined 12 years ago. 15 years ago,
right.
And has waited until the worst possible time to be like, maybe what happened with evangelical religion and courting by the right and how the right became so toxically insane. And that's also taken elements of the left and turned them into these sort of poisonous individuals representing this mirror idea of violence and chaos just simply to win for that side. It's dangerous. We've put ourselves in an apocalyptic footing. We get back to the apocalypse.
Right. It's all.
And that's what the Jerusalem thing's all about.
Fuck, dude. It's terrifying. There's it's steps terrifying. In the way. Everything is, but there's fucking stop gaps every step of the way.
Hold on. There's other conspiracies because I was looking them up.
We make the one exception for the no looking shit up on this podcast because both of us keep forgetting what we're talking.
I don't know what's happening.
Right. Let's talk flat earth. What the fuck? How dumb can these people be? How dumb am I?
Well, I just think that, like, you know, we're sort of deciding whether we're going to believe. You have to believe, therefore, that all space flights, well, even with flat earther logic, where, like, there's a way where you can justify, I guess, like, going to the level of atmosphere in Earth that a ship does, that I guess they have some math that says it's possible that it's a flat earth and whatever. So I'm sort of just pretending that it is a possible theory for a second,
right,
and saying all of spaceflight would have to be faked. And you would also have to then ask the question, why the fuck is everyone lying about the earth being round?
Right.
Why is everybody doing it?
Where there's,
what is the benefit of doing it? That's the question.
That's what I'm saying. Because then that eliminates cover up. That eliminates any reason of a cover up, because there's no reason for them to pretend it's not flat.
Yeah.
There's no victory for them. There's no money. That's what I'm saying. So yeah, unless there's like globe manufacturers are behind it yeah, and they don't want to transition to flat shit. Oh my God. What if globe manufacturers are behind flat earth theory
just to like
keep globe sales up so no one finds out.
It's so crazy. And so therefore I say this conspiracy gets a no-jo.
No-jo. Welcome back to Conspiracy Theories. Welcome back to High Mighty Part 6 Conspiracy Theories. We just voted that the Flat Earth Theory gets a no-jo, so we're moving on to the next topic. And the next topic, of course, is the CIA killed Martin Luther King.
I believe it's
wildly possible.
Is it the FBI?
FBI.
CIA killed Kennedy.
Because there was like some shit, like they were trying to discredit MLK forever, and it makes total sense why they would.
Why they would discredit?
Yeah, it seems like a normal tactic.
Yeah, of course.
It seems like a tactic that they would have done
to discredit someone in the face of public change in the time in which it was happening. I'm saying, of course, it makes sense that that was being done. I don't think it's right that it was being done.
We're saying like it's completely possible the FBI did that.
But there's the whole thing is that the FBI director always shows all the new cadets. I don't know where I read this, but I guess it's like the Martin Luther King wiretapping or sort of harassment thing is taught to all cadets to be like, this is what this institution is not about. And it's an admission of what the FBI did to him.
Oh, yeah. It's like, we're different.
Do you know that?
No, I didn't.
It's
know that.
Really fascinating because it's like, oh, you become a cadet. And they're like, we fucking fucked with MLK. We're honest about it. Probably not even to a degree that
like, yes, we were keeping tabs on him. They're not going to say they were disseminating disinformation, but they'll say,
oh, no, they admit some pretty deep stuff, but I think they did deeper, more fucked up shit than, like, what they pulled admit. The trigger. I mean, I don't know about that. But.
Right. Possible. I'm fucking... Dig deep, man. I'm deep throat. I'm just like, we are in a cloud of smoke like a fucking noir movie.
And your hat is getting lower and lower on your head.
No, my head is shrinking, dude. Because I'm spilling my fucking brains out.
You look like a totally different person with your hat brimmed down like that.
Me, dog?
Yeah, you look like a guy who... Like a guy who lives in Encino that like sells.
Yo,
like,
you want to buy a jet ski, bro?
Yeah, I buy sells jet.
Hey, bro, come here, man.
And you're drinking.
Come buy my jet ski.
You're drinking some sort of slushy out of the husk of a pineapple.
Yeah, I'm drinking a slushy in a styrofoam cup in 2017. Anytime I see a styrofoam cup in 2017, I'm like, there's got to be a better way. Why do these I mean, they keep drinks cold, obviously, but fuck, dude.
Do they really keep drinks cold?
Nah, dude. I'm on that Yeti grind, dude. I know you're a gadget dude, so I'm going to pitch you the fucking
Yeti.
What's
this?
The Yeti is just like this new fucking space age technology cups that just keep shit so cold. That's a Yeti. I can fucking put ice cubes in it, leave it in my car all day, and there's still ice cubes in it at the end of the day.
What does it do? How does it do that?
It's like some weird ass fucking metal. I don't know. Maybe they put the $30 it costs into the cup in some capacity to protect it from heat. But it fucking works, dude. I'm a, And Yeti is not a sponsor of this podcast, unlike the Luxor and Pax Era.
Pax Era, yeah.
But the Yeti is not a fucking, I would sponsor them in a heartbeat. Mighty. Promo code Mighty. Their fucking coolers are bomb. Watch, people are going to be in the Menchie's. Like, fucking fishermen love the Yeti because it fucking keeps shit cold. But then I fill up a fucking, they have a 32-ounce Rambler. I drink that shit all day long. It stays ice cold, man.
Wow, really?
It's fucking great. And I know you're a gadget head, so.
I like gadgets.
And you maybe have a few bucks to your name this year.
Maybe.
Fucking treat yourself to a nice Yeti cup.
Why, well, I'll get myself a Yeti.
Get yourself a Yeti. Hey, sit down. Have a Yeti. Relax. What new gadget are you into lately?
It's like a new pocket, it looks like a pig's hoof, and it's like a sex toy. And you tie it to one thigh, and it's like a pig's hoof that just sort of just dances across your head once in a while, just a little bit.
And you can turn it up.
Yeah.
You can turn it up to four hooves.
And like, it has, you can turn it all the way up to a full stamping. And as you turn it up, it goes. It's an awful sound, and it sort of just.
Now I know what that sound was when you were in the living room.
That's why I went in the living room real quick. Remember when I said to you, I got to go into your living room alone for 5 minutes.
Woo-wee. I'm feeling good, dog.
I'm feeling it.
I know. Let's smoke this fucking other one now. We can wait. You want to wait till we're done, or do you want to try to fucking.
No, power? Let's go.
We're going to. I got this like Keef covered fucking.
My God.
Oh, shit. It's stuck in there. It's so big. Let's just give him a shout out. Three Kings Dynasty.
Three Kings Dynasty. Hey, wow.
Do you have the lighter? Okay.
Do you have the lighter? You fucking thief.
I don't have it.
Oh, shit. Well, we have matches. This should take only 45 minutes.
Hold on, everybody. No. Unless they put it somewhere. No, I don't know where it is. Oh, I'll find it. Well, you might have it in your shorts.
I might. I do.
Yeah, you schmutz.
As I know, we're gonna be real. We're gonna leave all that in the podcast.
Yeah, I know.
Because I fucking could not find the lighter. Had to use matches. I called you a thief.
Yep.
And it was in my pocket.
On the record. And it was in your pocket. And I'm looking everywhere. Honestly and earnestly.
I'll let it ride. I did that. I made you look. I thought you were. I felt my
ride, ride, ride.
Ride, Sally, ride.
The bump goes on.
Blackbird flying in the dawn. Just sing like 20 songs. There's a fucking. Welcome back. This is the worst podcast ever.
This is, people have clearly tuned out by
that's
this
fine
point.
Though this is when we're in, this is right in our wheelhouse when no one's listening but the two of us. This is when our conversation gets
this
the deepest.
It's gonna get the darkest.
This is when the deepest done. The darkest.
Do you think, well, I'll ask you a question.
Sure.
Do you think with everything that's happening that there is something truly askew at the world, that there's a, that
like bigger
there's
than
some
bigger
problem
than we know
it with reality.
Yeah, there's something connect, there's some sort of unseen connection with everything that's fucking going wild.
Or do you think that if we didn't have 24-hour cable news and internet pumping so much opinion information and like, you know, stimuli to you, or the fact that there's actually just no regulation to the way the stimuli gets pushed to you that makes you reactive or make conclusions. Right. Do you think we would see the world with the same panic? I really wonder.
I don't know.
I don't know because and I don't know. Trump is a pretty scary.
Is it good or bad that we now know all the bad shit that's going on in this world? Right? Like, it's obviously good that we need to know it, but it's going to be our undoing. It's like, so disenchanting.
I think that it's less to me it's less about the idea of the world being awful.
By the way, this thing is fucking great.
It's crazy.
This podcast is about to take another
turn.
This
is going
to
take a deep turn.
It's going to be 40 minutes of silence, and I hope someone listens to it.
Up on the chain gang.
Oh. I was just about to sing the song from that Charlie Sheen prison movie. I forget how it goes.
Men at Work?
The Garbage Man movie. I forget what it's called. I'm fucking stoned right now. Ooh. Ah. Ooh. That's just the sound of the man. Kickback. Working on the chain. They sing that. I mean, I know it's a I know it's an old song, but
that's the sound of the man.
Kickback.
Working on the chain. Gang.
That's the fucking song I was thinking of. Holy shit. I'm back. And I think Charlie Sheen is in a movie as, about a prisoner that where they sing that song. God help me, I know I sound fucking...
Hot Shots Part 2?
Yeah, I think it's Hot Shots Part 2. I fucking love Hot Shots, man.
Oh, you know who I saw today? Oh, I wish I knew what her name was. You know, an Airplane? What's her name? The woman who's Ted Stryker's... the stewardess. Woman.
Oh, I can't remember her name.
That's so terrible.
Either.
I feel
terrible.
It's like, it's something...
I wish I could remember.
God.
Don't judge us. We're fucking smoking kefir.
No,
right
to
now.
Me, it's on the tip. I can't remember the name of the guy who plays Ted Stryker. I don't remember.
I only
either
remember
either
Leslie Nielsen
but
as the actor's name.
She
Lloyd Bridges.
Oh, she was so great.
She's so great.
Is it Kathy something? I feel like a kid.
I'm going to blow it. I might fuck your mind up here, but she reminds me of Karen Allen. She's not Karen Allen. I know that.
Yeah,
but
that's
they're
really
like in the same world.
They're
she's
in
like
the Karen Allen world.
They have like, maybe it's just because I also crushed on them as older women at the same time in my life.
I saw her today and I was so excited. She was in a place that I was at and she was like, hi. And I was like, oh yeah. Like, I don't know why, but it made me really feel
so
excited.
Awesome.
I loved Airplane. And it's so weird what happened with those guys. One of them became super right wing.
Oh, of the Zucker brothers?
Yeah.
Or Zaz. Zucker's Abrams and Zaz.
Yeah.
One of them's like fucked up. Yeah.
Fucking.
Or didn't fuck up. One of them took a harsh turn right.
It's pretty harsh.
Yeah, yeah. I used to love those movies growing up. I love all the spoof movies, even the late ones. I fucking love the movie
Scary Movie?
I love Scary Movie. No shit. Scary Movie 2, even more.
Scary Movie 3, baby.
Scary Movie 3 is fucking good.
That's the couch jumping with Tom Cruise, right? Or is that 5?
Oh, I don't know anymore, dude. They all blend together. I just 2 is the one I remember with Chris Elliott with grab onto my strong hand. Yeah. Like that's the one that stands out.
That's like I love Final Destinations.
Me too, dude. They're so fun.
I love Final Destination 5, believe it or not. So
5
much.
Is great. Is 5 the one with the
five,
bridge?
Yes, 5
the bridge
is the one with the bridge.
One, right? So good. The roller coaster one's good too. Is that 4?
That's 3.
That's 3.
4 is pretty forgettable if I remember.
All right,
correctly.
What's your overall favorite
Final Destination?
Final Destination death. One off
oh,
death.
Oh, wow. That's toughy.
And it could be in the fantasy or it could be in when death seeks them out. Because I have one. Do you want me to say mine first while you think of yours?
No. Hold on. I just want to think of mine first because I want to be secure in knowing it. And I feel as if, to me, I know which one it is. I think I know which one is my... It's sort of two things. There's like my favorite scene and then there's my favorite death. So I know both, but I'm going to say I know my favorite death.
Okay. So I'll tell you mine. My favorite death is Tanning Bed, Big Gulp Girl. I don't remember which one that's in.
That's in 3.
That's in 3. That's my favorite
that's
one. The girl's
they,
like, okay, I'm just
going to
get
roller coaster
yeah.
of love.
And the thing fucking closes on her and the fucking soda spills and it just fries her. That's so funny to me. And it was like the first shot against like that. Like in my mind, it was like the first attack on like that kind of culture like that. I remember just loving that. I was like, it's so funny.
Well, it's so funny too because they were so funny and so committed. Those two actresses, like,
were great.
Were legit, like, great, funny in their character. And that's what I love in 5 is you realize by my dad. So, just to give you a little prep, my father came to visit me in New York. And
came to fucking play, we should say.
Yeah, he played drums. This
if
wasn't
you don't
this
watch
visit.
If you don't watch the President Show, just watch the Holiday Special.
The President Show, Holiday Special.
I invented Christmas.
I came up with Christmas, a President Show Christmas. And
it's great.
It is a great show, even though I know, but a lot of other great Christine Nangle and Pete Gross and
all
Suzanne
the people on
Fagel
the show
and
yeah,
Emmy
yeah.
Blotnick and all the great writers, everyone made that great show. But in that show,
me too. Dude.
In that show, my father plays drums with this like 3-piece band, and my dad's a drummer and was, you know, a drummer for a lot of really great musicians, and so it was a real thrill to have him there.
Yeah, it was exciting.
It was really cool, exciting. But wait, when we were saying something, oh, my dad stayed with us, but another time, and I guess I came home from work, and Flossie and my wife and my dad were watching this Final Destination 2, I think. And I was like, what are you guys doing? And my dad's like, I love this movie. And so we ended up the whole weekend watching all the Final Destinations because my dad wanted to see
every single one of them. Your dad's like, wait, there's five of these?
He loved them. And five, by the time you hit five, you're like, oh, they really had these archetypes that they just plugged into every movie.
Yeah.
It was literally down to the color palette of what people wore, how they wore their hair. It's a very interesting thing to watch all those movies.
It's just like Breakfast Club, Straight Breakfast shot. Club, Breakfast Club,
yeah,
Breakfast
just Club. The looks, the dress, the character, what they were. So mine is actually from five, and it's the girl whose eye gets lasered out in the LASIK surgery.
Oh, yes. Holy shit. That's a fucking good brutal death. That's a good one. That one gives me chills because it's like eye stuff is so fucking.
But then it ends so sadly because then she just sort of dumps out the window and a car, her eye pops out and the car runs over her eye.
Oh, right. Oh, that one fucked me up. Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah. Those movies are fucking great.
Yeah, they are.
All right. Back it up.
We gotta bring it in back into the fold.
Are we in a simulation?
I mean, what do they say? 60% chance we're in a simulation.
How is it a 60% chance?
That's according to some mathematician. No, it's like
more than half that we are definitely a simulation.
It's definitely more than half.
That's fucking wild.
But then the question is what are we saying is a simulation? And like,
right.
You know, are we qualifying that what we're really recognizing is simply that part of our experience is both generated from our expression of our perception as is consciousness. And then another aspect of reality is the physical manifestations or consciousness of external things that relate that are not you.
Right.
So both things are probably intersecting with each other and that can create the notion of a simulation because so many more things are affecting reality than just the neutral construct of reality that we sit around.
Ooh. Oh, just fucking jizzed and diarrhea at the same time. A classic jizzeria. It's rare. Rare I get a jizz. This is so gross. What am I doing?
A jizzeria.
The old jizzeria. Sounds like a character from one of the fantasy novels I read.
It sounds like a pizza place that has cum as the topping.
Yeah. Welcome to the jizzeria. What can I get you to tonight, huh? Couple of regular? No regular. What do you get? What doesn't have cum on it?
Everything has
I got
cum.
Bad news. It's either cum. Everything's cum. The only thing that doesn't have cum is Hawaiian.
All right.
All right, we'll take cum. Just kidding. I love Hawaiian pizza. Anthony Atamanik, fucking gotcha journalism. Do you like Hawaiian pizza?
No.
Busted. No way. We got you. Take him down. Pizza. You don't like Hawaiian pizza.
No.
Ham and pineapple is what we're talking.
Yeah, I know. I don't like it. There's so many other flavors of pizza.
You're
I'd
right. There's
have.
A lot better, but I love a good Hawaiian pizza.
No.
If I'm at like a pizza.
Because it's always got fat. I've never thought of Hawaiian pizza. The concept's great. I love ham and
salty
pineapple.
And sweet. Yeah.
But my issue with that fucking pizza is it's always a pizza place that's like this thick, shitty, non-Italian fucking crust.
Yeah, and it's like a cube of pineapple.
Yeah, where people make Hawaiians is where shit pizza is made, I feel. And someone prove me wrong.
I've had some good Hawaiian slices from some fancy places.
No, give me like... Give me a fucking buffalo chicken.
Oh, dude.
Pizza.
Buff chicken pie from Gino's on Jerusalem. If I could bring it back to Jerusalem for a second. Jerusalem Avenue in Belmore. Fucking Gino's, dude. Their buff chicken slice. I used to drive pies up to Tiff when I would visit her and her family, and her brothers would just go apeshit. It's like I eat at my Hero every time I go back to Long Island, and I also always get a buff chicken pie from fucking Gino's.
Gino's.
And there's like five Gino's on Long Island.
President Trump has announced it today. that he's moving the U.S. embassy for Israel to Geno's in on Jerusalem. And
Scott, you know, and the mooch is back.
And the mooch is back, by the way.
Running a Geno's.
I'll be at Geno's. I can't, Mario, I can't take Mario's character.
No, you can't do Mario's character, motherfucker.
Check your email.
Check my email. I'm trying to fucking minimize it because I'm fucking about to pay attention to it. Blah, blah, blah.
So,
are you so pumped to eat, dude? It's stressing me out that Tiff isn't home and hasn't started cooking yet.
Her eye.
How is that for heteronormative?
Right.
What?
She's getting her eyebrows done.
Lashes.
Lashes.
She got her brows done. She got microbladed a while. Shout out to...
Is that like a Tiny Wesley Snipes cuts yeah. up her eyebrows?
Motherfuckers try to ice skate uphill. that'd be awesome. She got microbladed. It's when a bunch of tiny day walkers climb across her eyes and slice them up. It is kind of like that. Microblading is like tattooing.
That's what they do. They go like...
Yeah, and they
right?
like tattoo... she got her eyebrows tattooed on. It's fucking sick.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's wild, dude. It cut her getting ready time down a lot. It's great.
That's but I mean, did that hurt?
Yeah, I think it did hurt for a couple days. As much as like a tattoo hurts, I think. I mean, someone who's gotten both microblading and tattooing done, let us know which one hurts more.
Do you have tattoo?
I have one. And of course, it's Long Island, bro.
Right on. I went to Gurney's. I went to Gurney's, dude.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. Earthquake in Nassau. That's my little
just
joke.
Just so you know, what Gabrus is doing is he's just sort of pulling on his skin. And
I'm pulling my bat wings
down.
Looks
like his muscles. It's
I'm
just
tugging on my bat skin.
Everyone should know that Gabrus has huge, like you, and he holds his arms up. He's just got like a huge, thick, thin
it's fucking
strip of
filled with water. You can hear it sloshing around when I
it's,
move my
oh,
arm.
It's crazy.
It's cellulite and fucking water. You just hear it comes out like fucking cheesecloth. It like shoots out like a sprinkler as I wave my arm around. When we were a kid, we used to call that Oprah's on because there was a commercial for Oprah on PIX where everyone was cheering. Like they were like a barber would stop and cheer because like Oprah's on. It's 4 p.m. It was like the promo and one woman was like an older woman who like raises her arm and goes Oprah's on and she has like those big fat old lady arms and there's like and I'd like it burned in my head as a kid is like Oprah's on like just the weird shit you see and you just never get the image out of your head.
Oprah's on.
Oprah's on. And I feel like I've talked about this on like 11 different podcasts. I'm sorry whoever that lady is in that promo. But that's the lady you want cooking you food, though.
Our podcast, here's this conspiracy idea. A podcast, it seems like, ultimately is just like you eventually just repeating yourself a lot and like saying the same thing over and over.
It's a way to fucking like nullify people.
And like,
it's a way to like fucking, I'm like, oh yeah, let's just get a bunch of people who are outspoken and get them to just talk for hours to no one and repeat themselves. And then they'll get tired and won't actually incite change. They'll just keep fucking
this gonna be a
spewing
point.
Fucking Mack Weldon ads.
This is going to be a point in podcasting in like 40 years. Where it's going to be, there's going to be all these podcasts like, well, let me tell you something. I think that's pretty crazy and wild. That's a wild thing. I'm so high. Let me tell you, man.
And oh, it's dude, like, you know, it's wild
and it's
right now.
All and like young people are just like,
no, I'll tell you what's going to happen.
Beaming candy lights into their eyes and like in sensory like bubbles with like no muscle stuff.
Everyone's just like Wally people flying around, just like, oh, podcast, keep me going. Yeah. And then we're just sitting here going like, buy this product, give me the money, here's my podcast. I'll tell you what, if you come back for the T-Mobile chat and chat.
Chat and chat? Yeah. T-Mobile
Welcome back to the T-Mobile, of course, promo code Mighty. If you go into a T-Mobile store, smoking a Pax vape, blow a smoke ring around a T-Mobile, you can say...
Take
promo code Mighty and hit him with a shat and chat. Please tag it shat and chat. And dear God, please don't actually do this. You fucking idiots. Don't Opie and Anthony me out here. Do you remember that growing up? You're from Boston. I'm from Long Island. So
yeah.
This, we both
I didn't
were,
really listen to Opie Anthony. I was more of a Stern guy.
I was a Stern. We had Stern and O&A, but my dad was more into Stern, so I rebelled and got more into O&A. But my dad listened to both. O&A fucking did that thing like, you got to go fucking weird places, then call into the radio show about it.
Oh,
those
yes.
people fucked in the church.
Yes.
I think they fucked the St. Patrick's Cathedral.
Yes.
And then when they called in, they were like, holy shit. And like the Catholic Diocese of New York was like up in arms and they got like taken off the air.
Fuck that. I mean, that's crazy.
What was that noise? It's the end times.
It's the end times. Well, we both clearly weren't raptured, so. And now we're stuck in this hellscape.
God made weed to protect you from the rapture. All those, I'm sure that's like a fucking printed on a tank top in the 60s.
God made weed to protect you from the rapture.
Yeah, like when God takes us all up, man, only the stoners are going to be left because we're the only people who really know what's going on. You
the
know?
Meek shall inherit the earth.
Yeah, man. So you keep yourself dumb and bond, you know, you keep yourself ground. Oh, shit. Nosebleed. Government is enacting podcast initiation.
Do they want to?
How long until podcast hosts are brainwashed by the government
already?
Via subtle ad buys that we don't realize until they've got you all the podcast hosts saying the same thing, and then it's like a fucking Manchurian candidate.
It's like a chance
where they activate us all through like promo code makes everyone go activate and like fucking starts attacking diplomats.
I was gonna say the conspiracy is that they all enter a promo code for like socks.
Yeah, they get buy one BOGO. Socks.
What's the one you do?
I love Mack Weldon, the undies.
Remember Mack we Weldon those undies. Socks?
Yeah,
underwears. I think I got some. I think
you,
I have
you got
some.
A bunch of the socks. Yeah, they work. Yeah. I'm wearing the underwear right now, dog.
I love underwear.
I've shouted out like 50 products. This is our sellout episode. We're going to get some fucking
this
money off
this.
This
is a total sellout episode.
Yeah, it's time, dude. Fuck it. I'm cashing
dude,
in.
Dude, this is a six episode. This is bigger than Final Destination.
We are bigger and better than Final Destination.
Oh, my God. I love the lack of any direction that this is
I know. Let's buckle down and hit another conspiracy. So what else is going on? What are some classics? Like,
well, what are some classics?
Like, what are ones that always tickle you? Even if we've repeated on this podcast, I'm sure we will never say the same thing twice
on purpose.
We have like memento disease. We don't remember any of the previous episodes either.
I mean, crisis actors always weird me out. I've said that before.
If that's a fucking real thing.
I was like looking at crisis actor videos a few weeks ago. I think maybe we were, it was, might be 2 months ago because I think we were going to do a bit on it or whatever. And so it's so bizarre because like, it's so clearly people who are experiencing extreme trauma.
Right.
And you're watching their psyche process this trauma, and therefore their defenses, their shock, everything of how they are is bizarre. Some people, not all people, but some people behave bizarrely when they're under
shock.
Psychological
duress.
Trauma. So like we normally up until only 10 years ago and even less had the capacity to show en masse and instantaneously people's reactions to trauma, right? And so we're not used to it. And also it's embarrassing for people who aren't experiencing it. They're like, oh, why are they behaving that way?
Right,
that way is weird. It makes me uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable.
So what happens is the notion of crisis actor comes from really the term for an emotionally unavailable or ignorant person to observe someone else's grief and make the narcissistic decision
that
it
faking.
Can't be that it's true. It must be that there's something wrong with
why
them
because would
it
someone
makes me uncomfortable.
Like that.
Right. That is what's so fucked up about crisis actor theories.
Right.
Is that it is the ultimate example of ego and fucking self-involvement.
And it also is like one of those things that like removes all empathy in like a swath. Like the fact that it's a possibility like chips away at empathy.
Yeah.
And I feel like at the heart of it, a lot of these like negative conspiracies chip away at empathy where you start to go like, well, why even bother if voting is fixed? If anyone could, you know, like it just, you stop caring. Well, it's like, well, I'm going to keep giving money to the poor, but then you hear charities are bad. You know, like you hear this shit and you're like, oh, fuck. Everything, nothing matters. You start to like...
You're going back to nihilism.
Get so self-centered.
And,
or you spin inward,
Well, nothing is nothing. I mean, it's also like... I never understand it because nothing really changes. Like, if you lead a life where you're going to be an imperfect person and you're going to not like, you're going to do things and experiencing things in your life that you're not going to like about yourself.
Right.
And
no shit.
And you're going to do things that are going to disappoint people to the degree that they kind of don't really forgive you. You know, there's a lot of, oh.
Are we getting a warning?
Strong winds overnight creating extreme fire danger. Stay alert and listen to authorities.
Shit, dude. I was like, someone's texting both of us, thinking something, a mutual friend, and then instead it's the emergency service. Wow, yeah, to date this, Jesus Christ, that's terrifying when you get peak stoned and then you just get a message that be careful tonight, that everyone just got on their phones. As we're talking about fucking conspiracies and like negative energy converging, all right, now's the time, okay. Anthony.
Yes.
We need to activate. We always end on a hopeful, positive note
this
here.
Is it. This let's is our make, moment let's turn of it around
now. Now that we just got an emergency alert about fires and strong winds near where we're both living.
It's
currently.
A good thing. Actually, I'll start right there. What this is technology the advantage is going to save technology. Us. Yeah. This is the type of thing where it's like, wow, I get this general alert that like can keep me safe and aware.
The That's other thing about this technology thing. Is it may be our undoing, but in the meantime, it's really stopping some fucking terror. It's like alerting everyone to a lot of bad shit that's going on.
It's alerting people to what's bad's going on, and you
and
know,
letting us and letting those people connect, letting people converge on singular.
Have I told
ideas.
You the Periscope thing that I do?
No.
So like Periscope, I guess this like never really took off. I don't think people really like it, right?
I don't know. I think because like you can go Instagram Live. I think everyone likes it to come from like one place.
So my thing is that I still have it on my phone, so I will look at it because I was never someone who was like, I'm gonna.
Hey guys, I'm unboxing a Lego.
I'm a voyeur, and so like I'm
like, who's fucking on this?
Yeah. But like I love going to. You can go anywhere. So you can go to Tehran, North Korea.
You can see it. Like I know, Anthony.
And there are people who broadcast from there. And so like I watch this like. North Korean couple like dig their car out of their snow and like drive down to like downtown and like you could see it. And it was to me that those are the things I'm like, that's so fascinating. And seeing a kid play guitar in Tehran, a park in Tehran and like people hanging with them and like them playing Western music and just the point of the normalcy of it. And I think I actually really respect it and why I think Instagram is like such, again, these things are all these very Western, very privileged sort of performative acts of being like, this is who I am.
Right.
Here's my fucking thing. And I do it. I'm not saying I'm exempt from doing that.
Right.
Because I participate in those
things.
But
it's less like raw and voyeuristic.
I'm definitely not someone who's like live streaming like my life and shit. But like,
I mean, not yet. Not until I can figure out a way to make a lot of money.
Yeah, not until I have like a camera hanging in front of my face. But like, but the
hey guys, it's me, Anthony. It's Eminem. Yeah. Again, we're doing another 24/7 follow me around.
But Periscope's like the PBS of like online broadcasting.
Right.
Because or self-broadcasting because it really is like windows into these people's worlds.
Yeah, and like who's
still
there?
And you can
there?
Search by a map. See, that's the thing. You can go and just see a map of these little pinpoints. I probably sound like such an old man, I gotta say. But like, I really...
Hey, we are old men, it's
I think
fine.
It's special and interesting, and it
we're
was cool.
We're both baby boomers.
Yeah, we're both, but here's the thing. It was cool to see that North Korean couple being doing like, a piece of their life, and maybe it's propaganda, because I know it's North Korea. For all I know, those Periscopes could be actors, propagandistic, and it's possible bringing it to conspiracies. But what I like to think when I'm seeing like the guy outside of Kabul who's like trying to dig his car out of a ditch and like it's people problem solving is like, we're all, I know it's so cheesy, but we're all the same. We're all around the world. We're all sharing the same consciousness to some degree. And we all really want to be left alone, enjoy ourselves, talk and chat, have a little food and go to bed. And the rest of it, is like for these greedy psychopaths who
just
who really
can't get
we
enough
keep letting
out of it.
Run us. We keep letting these psychopaths run us, and it's about
it
time we
be,
stop them.
Honestly, and I think what it is because for a long time they realized that they could run the shit. It's like the kids in a high school club who are a group of fucking losers.
Yeah,
they start running the club and they realize let's just keep losers who are like us running this club.
Yeah,
and we get the club. So I feel like what's happening now is a lot of people are getting into politics because they're like, fuck it, dude. I was not going to do politics but now I just see we have to do something about this. I feel like that's what like that viewpoint of like the greed was like. And I'm sure politics to a degree, like chicken or egg, what's the greed? Does it drive you to do politics or does politics drive you to greed? I'm sure it's a fucking compound fuck you exponential thing. Yeah. But it's one of those things where it's, I'm fucking wading out there into the ocean.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
I'm fucking out there. But it's like now I think people are saying like, okay, politics is like a thing that maybe I need to do.
Yeah,
like,
civics.
Yeah, civics.
People get involved, right?
People are like, fuck, dude. People who otherwise maybe, and I know like, you know, there's like a certain segment of like, the left or like the underground-esque movement, or at least like the looking out for other people mentality. I think a lot of those people go into things like education and teaching and not just trying to reach a certain number of money, you know, or like the arts and all that shit. And then it's like, now those people are like, this is what I really want to do, but I think what I need to do is fucking get up, step up in my little, and you feel that on the local level and like all that. Again, I'm just trying to, we're doing the positive stuff. It's like those positive local elections, like in Virginia that fucking went the other way. And it's like, that's because people are fucking coming out of the woodwork and it's like, everyone's like, oh, fuck it. It's time for us.
We've
have to do
shit.
We've got to
decide and vote. We have to do something.
We have to get everybody's voice out there.
Would
and not
you go,
just
would
money.
You run for a local office that you could only have to serve in like once a week?
I don't know.
Would
if
you?
I, could do, I don't know. Cause like if once they start reaching into my closet, they're going to find some skeletons, baby.
Well, yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter anymore.
Right. It doesn't matter anymore. You're indestructible. Like nothing you've ever said or done can affect you.
Nope, there's nothing you can do.
Unless you're trying to be on TV.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the only thing. Like, only people on TV are really held to like an extreme level.
Well, I think people are being caught up to a level of how they should be held to.
Well, that's another thing. No, I mean for what they say.
Oh,
I'm just saying for what they say, not for what they're doing. What they're doing is people.
But I'm saying in politics, that's not true unless you're Al Franken or unless you've been what's his name, the guy. Ooh, that's a conspiracy. Oh fuck! Like we almost got by with this. So I mean, and I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying with Al Franken, like. You know, there's calls for him to resign right now at the time we're recording this. But like you look at like Roy Moore and like this guy is going to get elected and he's a fucking, you know, pretty
arguably
harshly accused
pedophile.
And so it's not to say like, you know, Franken should stay or like it's saying like it's crazy the level of.
Well, because the left are, and everyone's like, Franken. And even the left is like, come on, guys, we got to like knock Franken
down. I'm saying
down.
The accountability of Trump. Roy Moore and people on the right, I'm waiting to see when that starts happening. And I don't think it will. And I think it'll be interesting to watch one party of some, you know, let's argue coming to virtue they should have come to before.
Yeah.
But exercising virtue in a way as the other side isn't. And they're not going to purge their creeps and they're not going to take the president out.
Right.
And then we're going to have this weird shift that's going to happen. That will be a very interesting thing to see.
A final drawing of the line in the sand.
Yeah.
Like, where do you stand?
Like, but now,
how hard are you willing? Like, what are you willing to do?
Is it Conyers? John Conyers is the one who's accused in the representatives. Did you hear the story today? So Chandra Levy was a woman who went missing, who was Gary Condit's intern.
Converse.
Gary Condit.
Oh, I don't know. Okay.
Gary Condit was a California congressman in the spring before 9/11. A young woman named Chandra Levy, who worked for him or was like somehow knew him,
I remember the name,
having an affair, disappeared. Ooh. And he was accused of killing her and getting rid of the body. And her body was supposedly near this park. And her story was the number one story in the news the day of 9/11.
Oh, shit.
And then it disappeared. The Condit story just disappeared.
Oh.
Okay. Now, Conyers says to whatever woman he, I guess, reported today, she told the story with him, is that he made an advance and she rebuffed it. And he said, well, you know, you don't want to have happen to you what happened to Chandra Levy. And it was like he didn't know if she was he was threatening her, or whether he was also, you know, serious.
He said that to her.
But it's sort of like saying like, oh, are you saying that you know
not
something
only you know
about
something
what
happened,
Gary Condit did?
And then also like, you're threatening someone?
That's the question.
Oh,
that was the
shit.
And I'm being irresponsible and just saying like, this is what I heard today or saw in the news.
Yeah.
And apparently
we know we don't have a big enough audience
her.
That we're fucking making people lose go ape shit over here. So we're safe.
I know.
Yeah. You got to piss. Did you not want me to tell you people that? Well, let's leave on this positive note of the fucking.
No, it's just a positive note that we had a new conspiracy theory that is fresh.
Right.
And the positive note is that we had one of those.
Yeah.
And the other positive note is that we're having a good time. Life is good. It's right. Tough for some people, but it's all coming out.
And we're coming together.
And we're coming together, and that's what's wonderful.
People are fucking, people it may be people. Tribalism, but at least we're finding our tribes.
People are people.
16 tons. What?
guys. 588 to 300 Empire.
Guys. Watch the President Show, at least the holiday special, and then I'll make you watch the rest because it's so fucking
watch
good.
All of it.
Watch all of it. But I'm saying if you gotta pick one,
BB Newirth, Mark Hamill, Joy Behar,
yeah.
Mario Cantone, John Gemberling, Adam Pally, James Adomian,
everybody,
and more.
Everybody. As always, guys, I'm at John Gabers on Twitter. You're at the
Tony ATAMANUIK.
Very SEO capable, very search engine optimization over there at Tony Ataminic. Follow us on Twitter, tweet at us your conspiracy theories. We'll like them and not respond in any capacity. I'm at John Gabers. You know what it is. Listen to the Action Boys. Listen to Raised by TV. And bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.